Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt centric.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to another show. Big week for the Colts. The Colts are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals at home for their week one opener. Exciting stuff, guys. We are finally in the thick of week one. This is good stuff. I mean, football kicks off tomorrow, and it's the Eagles and the Falcons, Thursday night football. We've got a couple more nights. We get some college football to enjoy, and then we finally see some Colts football. Man, this really, man, the offseason seems so freaking long sometimes. All you want to do is watch a real football game. Even when, you know, we get all excited for training camp and even preseason, but there's just always that little caveat that you just know this isn't real football. This isn't even, you know, we can't really take a whole lot from this. It's just all about excitement for the new season to come up. And I think that what we're experiencing is just the crazy crash that not watching NFL football leaves for us, especially the Colts, you know. So it's exciting. I'm glad for us to be getting back to the real deal here pretty soon. And I just can't express how excited I am to actually watch the game. Now, that could all very well change pretty quick if the Colts stink it up early and often in their first game against the Bengals, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Colts are going to make a good show of it. I don't know that I could pick the Colts to win the game right now. They've got the potential to, but you know, we know also what potential means, and that's really nothing without results. So it's exciting. I'm ready to get moving into the NFL season. So as always, our show is sponsored by Mike Ernest and his RE/MAX Advanced Realty team and Indy Home Pro Squad. Colts fans, if you guys are looking to buy or sell your home in the Indianapolis area, you need to get a hold of Mike Ernest at the Indy Home Pros team. Mike and his team of real estate professionals are experts in the greater Indianapolis real estate market, and they've helped people just like you achieve their real estate goals. Whether it's buying or selling your home, whether it's getting a hold of him and trying to find something else, you know, that you might be, you just kind of want to window shop a little bit, get a hold of him. Mike's going to take care of you guys. Get a hold of Mike Ernest and the Indy Home Pros team, at the number one real estate team in Indiana, by the way, at 317-285-9691, or you can find Michael online at CircleCityForSale.com. So let's get into what we're talking about today. We're going to kind of go through, I know this is kind of useless right now because it always seems like they say unofficial and it seems like a jumbled mess at times, but I think we've got a pretty good idea of what the Colts depth chart looks like right now. So we're going to go through that just for a few minutes and see if anything sticks out to us, if it's good, bad, ugly, whatever. Let's start at the offensive line. Costanzo obviously was back in practice, was limited. I don't think he took part in any of the team drills necessarily, but he's back and that's good. Hopefully he's able to start week one. If not, we get him week two. But LaRaven Clark is his backup. I think LaRaven did a pretty solid job this year in preseason and in training camp. I'm okay with that for right now. That could all change once the season kicks off. So as of now, I think it's a solid backup. Whether somebody else has to fill in there, you know, because of what becomes of him being the backup, we'll see if it ever plays out even. Obviously, I think that Glowinski's a better pick than Vunovich, so I'm happy with that guy being behind Quentin Nelson. Ryan Kelly, Matt Slauson, and Braden Smith at right guard. I like those two. I think that Braden Smith obviously is probably a little higher on the right tackle depth chart because he's not actually on it, but I would think that he's probably above Jamarcus Webb. That's just my opinion. Just because they kept using him, and I think that they liked what they saw out of him. So I think that Braden Smith's actually in a couple spots on this offensive line. All in all, offensive line, nice, solid depth, two all the way across. And, you know, you've got Denzel Good still on the outs there, so there's a little bit of that. But all in all, this Colts offensive line, especially if Costanzo is back and starting in week one this Sunday against the Bengals, then that makes that offensive line even deeper. So that would be a huge help, especially if he's healthy. We don't want him to come back crabby because we want him to come back for the rest of the season, not just a game or two here and there. So I think the offensive line's good. Mac, Wilkins, Hines, and Michael are the running backs in that order. Obviously, with Mac out, Jordan Wilkins is going to get the call. Nyheim Hines he scares me, but he's there. And I still think that he's probably a better weapon all the way around than Christine Michael. But right now, Christine Michael's the better runner. I would say Jordan Wilkins has a lot to prove. He should be the backup, but running back group is scary, folks. We want Marlon Mack. He has not been to practice actually this week yet, so we could pretty much rule him out. But when he comes back, he'll help. But Jordan Wilkins is going to get the bulk of the calls here. This is going to be very much a work in progress with this running back committee, and we'll have to see what they can pull out. But you know, as far as the depth chart, no real questions there, I don't think. Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, Eric Swoop, Ryan Hewitt. That's a natural depth chart. The Colts have it at two different tight ends, but that's what it is, you know, as far as top to bottom, if you want to call it that. The Hewitt, from what I understand, the new sign that used to be from the Bengals, is that he's more of an H-back and a blocker. And apparently he's got really good hands, but it doesn't seem to be that refined of a route runner or anything like that. But, you know, the guy, he can block, and I think that that's what the Colts are going to use him for. They'll probably do this to free up Jack Doyle from having to be the H-back, so I think that's a good move. But it's nothing that, you know, I'm not harping like I care one way or the other necessarily. It's over, but as far as that's what they would have used Daryl Daniels for, right? Daryl Daniels would be that guy. And so Ryan Hewitt comes in there with a similar skill set, and that's what they're expecting him to do, is to help out this offensive line. So that could be big, especially if he's as good as I've been hearing from Bengals guys. They said he's a good blocker. He's not much else, but you know, the Colts don't need a lot of receiving out of the tight end position. They've got three guys that are more than capable of tarring out an opposing defense. So that's good. At wide receiver, we got, you know, a little bit of fright here. I guess you could say Hilton, Rodgers, Grant, Pascal, and then Johnson. The depth chart itself looks, I mean, normal. I don't know, even as little as Ryan Grant's done, I don't think you can put Zach Pascal ahead of him or anything like that. I personally don't know anything about Marcus Johnson other than what I've seen from, you know, the very little bit that he's actually been on the field. And, you know, Reich likes him. Reich seems to think he's going to be a solid guy. So it'd be nice if he could overperform. And that way it looks a little bit more like we've got three or four legitimate depth pieces there. I'm excited to see what Pascal can do this year, but I just don't know how much he's going to actually be able to, you know, churn out there. That wide receiver position, guys, is when I say scary, it leads you to believe that the Colts really have kind of they're going to have a streaky offense. These guys, you know, Pascal, Grant, I'll say that, and probably even Rodgers, you can put in this category. These guys are going to be very streaky in terms of what they produce because, you know, T.Y. Hilton's the guy, but he can't just run a nine route every single time the Colts snap the ball. That's something that's going to have to come with these other guys being able to run, you know, a really solid route tree. So, I mean, this wide receiver group could be impressive because they could all get it. And Andrew Luck could spread the ball around, you know, a great deal and really take off early in this season. Or there could be issues of getting off the line of scrimmage. There could be issues of chemistry and route running and other people not being able to either take the top off the defense or cover the underneath stuff effectively. And durability is going to be a big issue with these guys. We have a while till KJ Brent gets back. We don't know anything about Krishan Hogan, these guys who are on injured reserve. Whether they'll be, you know, basically given the money and in the door or what. So this group is kind of, you know, touch and go right now. But I think as far as the depth chart itself goes, I think that it's about as good as it could possibly be. Obviously, quarterback Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett in that order. Andrew Luck, guys, I'm really excited for what we're going to see. I think Andrew Luck is going to come and turn it on. I don't think that he's going to be as rusty as even probably I suggested he would be months and months ago. I do think it'll take him some time, and I think that it's even possible he could have a great game against Cincinnati, and I think that it's also possible that he could have an awful game in week two. I mean, just one of those things. I don't necessarily believe that it'll be a gradual uptick in his ability as he goes throughout the season. It could be up and down for the first couple, 4 weeks, and we don't really know what we're going to get out of Andrew Luck other than aggression and, you know, the ability to make big plays, and hopefully we do see him actually utilize. And when I said this the other day, that he needs to be able to take the coaching. And he needs, and what I mean by that is he has to be able to understand that those quick hitters are necessary for the offense. He had a hard time getting that through his head before when he was on, and he was constantly coming off of first and second reads and trying to get to the third read, the more explosive read. You love that about him, but at the same time, that can't be happening when you're trying to get yourself and your offense into a rhythm. And if you're up by a touchdown, you can't allow a poor mistake in that situation to tie the game or, you know, give them the ball in their territory, stuff like that. Those are the things that Andrew Luck really is going to have to focus on with the coaching. I think that's something that is necessary, most definitely. So we'll come right back with the defense on here, and we'll talk a little bit about them as well right after the break. Welcome back, folks. Okay, let's get to the defense now. Basically, you've got Sheard and Hunt as the ones, the early down ones, there at the defensive end spots. And I think you've got Kamoko Ture as the number one, basically any down after that. So I think that you're probably going to see some Margus Hunt if we get to see some tight formation, tight packages from the offense. Now, when they spread us out, I don't think we're going to see any Margus Hunt in there, depending on the down, depending on the situation and all that stuff. But I think Kamoko Ture is more or less the starter there at the other end, only on second, third, and, you know, anything, any down after that. I think Hunt is there for run support, to be able to possibly get some pressure on the quarterback on early downs if they decide to do any play action and stuff like that. But more or less, I see those as two completely different positions. Basham and then the new Alkadin, Muhammad. He seems like he's a guy who's got some of that explosion that you want to see. Unfortunately, he's a similar guy to what I understand and what I've seen so far. I don't know much about him, but it seems like he's kind of the guy who has barely has a second move right now. So he's going to be one to watch, kind of see how he progresses. He looks like a more of a bull rush type guy as well, but you want that to be able to translate into some pass rush ability, and hopefully he's a solid defender of the run. We'll have to see. But ultimately, I don't think that what the Colts have at defensive end, that is pretty basic. Now, could Hunt be substituted in here for another guy, you know, coming free soon or something like that? Absolutely. But right now, Margus Hunt should probably be the number one rushing down defensive end. And hopefully Terrell Basham, I would love to see him be able to grow into that. That would be nice. Even if he's not a monster pass rush presence the entire time, if he could grow into at least the early down run defender and be an occasional pass rush threat, I think that's something. Right now, I think that's a reasonable ceiling for his year, okay, to be able to become one of those and at least be able to put some of that production on the field. Looking at the defensive line, the defensive tackle group, obviously Denico Autry is a guy that I think is very deserving of first team snaps. Al Woods is there for the run help on early downs as well. But you've got Grover Stewart and Hassan Ridgeway backing both those guys up, who have had phenomenal preseasons and camps. I'm excited to see what this group can do, because I think those four guys are going to be heavily relied upon to create some pressure. The defensive end group scares me, but I love the four that they've got. Now, they've only got four defensive tackles on this team right now, so you have to hope that Terrell Basham can come in there occasionally in late downs, which they used him a little bit in preseason for that. I think that's a smart idea. Even occasionally Margus Hunt, that's a smart idea. And I think those two guys are going to be in and out occasionally, just to be able to bring some of what maybe Tyquan Lewis was supposed to have brought this season from that defensive tackle unit. But all in all, I mean, there's only four guys. They've got, the one tech's got a backup, and, the defense, or the three tech has a backup. So I think that those two guys both have, I think both of those are really good. That's good depth for the Colts along the defensive line. Looking at the linebackers, four of these six guys are rookies. One's a second-year player coming off an injury, and obviously Najee Good is the vet of the group. He's starting at Sam. They've got Anthony Walker right now starting at the mic. I just don't think that happens. He's coming back. This is first week of practice since early in camp. I don't understand. This guy has had to have been phenomenal as far as learning the playbook and learning everything else, and then had to have gotten on the field this week and have performed and executed excellently. I don't think that's a possibility. I mean, I don't doubt the guy's ability to be smart in the classroom type and then be able to generate it to the field. Sky Moore has been practicing. He's looked really good. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if Sky Moore starts. I don't think Anthony Walker actually does on Sunday. Darius Leonard at the will. Zaire Franklin is his backup. Really like Zaire Franklin because I think he can play at any of the three spots. Really like Matthew Adams behind Najee Good at the Sam as well. I think this is going to be a very interesting and fun linebacker group to watch. These guys are fast. They're getting in passing lanes. They're disrupting, you know, receptions, I think, are the catch point. It's going to be fun. These guys are going to have their lump, take their lumps, but they're a better coverage unit, I think, even as young as they are. And they're already, in my opinion, a much, much faster defense than the Colts have ever seen from this linebacker position in the past era, in the Pagano area, without question. So really like this linebacker group, to be quite honest with you. I won't be surprised if I get let down because, you know, we've had issues with linebackers in the past. But I'm very excited to see what this group has to offer, quite honestly. At corner, they've got right now Kenny Moore and Nate Harrison starting. The only way that I can read it is, I mean, because they've got two cornerback spots here, I assumed and still presume that the one cornerback is the, you know, at least the last time they put it out, it looked like the one cornerback was the boundary group and the other one might have been the nickel. This one's different because they've got Kenny Moore at one, Nate Harrison at the other as the first team. Quincy Wilson at one, Pierre Desir at the other as their backups. And then Chris Milton's a backup behind Quincy Wilson. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe Desir plays more in the slot and they like Kenny Moore at the boundary, but this is completely backwards from what they've had in the past. So that's their actual one. And one corner is Kenny Moore, Quincy Wilson, then Chris Milton. At the other corner is Nate Harrison and Pierre Desir. So you're as going to be as good of tossing that up as I could. But my assumption still is I think that Quincy Wilson actually has a somewhat of a brace or something on his hand anyway, so I wouldn't expect him to play necessarily, or at least to start. Hopefully it's just a one-week thing here. But Kenny Moore and Nate Harrison, those guys to me are the slots. I mean, they can both play on the boundary and they can both be decent, but those guys are the nickel. I mean, they need to be. And then Chris Milton's got some, you know, flexibility there where he can come inside and out. So I like the Colts corner depth chart. I think they need another guy. Five corners is pretty thin in the NFL right now. Hopefully Lindsey Pipkins, you know, something happens to where he's able to get on the roster. But right now they've got five safeties. And so Corey Moore, the newest of them all, you know, is a guy who, you know, is a pretty solid player. I think they're going to try to use him as much as possible on special teams, but they've got Hooker and Gethers right now starting at free and strong. Mathias is the backup at strong behind Gethers, and George Odom is the backup behind Hooker at the free. So I think that this is a pretty exciting group, to be quite honest with you. Now, they can ultimately I don't think Hooker is meant to be strong, but virtually everybody else on that safety group could be a strong safety. Odom's got some good coverage ability. He's going to be fun to watch. But all in all, I think that this is really a pretty solid representation of the Colts and their their depth chart for sure. So nothing out of place really with the Colts depth chart this time. They still call it unofficial, but you know, you still at the same time have to understand that this is just where they go. So they also have the Chester Rogers as the top kick and punt returner. Zach Pascal, number two kick and punt returner. Nyheim Hines is the third kick returner. T.Y. Hilton's the third punt returner. So Hines is not on the punt return team in any way, shape, or form. He is now on the kick return team only, and hopefully we don't see a bunch of that either. I just don't think he runs with enough aggression with all the questions with his inability to, you know, secure the ball. So that's something that I think is definitely worth keeping an eye on, most definitely. Guys, we've got the second half of the show coming up. Now, I did a a show with the guys from Cincy Jungle and Bengals Insider, their podcast. And so I went on their show. We've got the audio from that. There's a little bit more of what I wanted to talk about tonight anyways in that, so I thought I would just throw it on here, and the second half of the show will end up being the audio from that. So just telling you guys now, please go to iTunes and give us a rating review. Honestly, take 2 minutes and please do that. That has helped some. We had a ton going in the first bit, and we did some shirt giveaways and some other giveaways and stuff. We'll probably try to do some more of that as well, but I really organically want to get these ratings and reviews up because they help the show a ton. We've got some exciting news coming between not only the podcast but SB Nation in general, so that is all going to come from them, but I'll be sure to pass that along when it comes. But it's good stuff. A lot of good, positive raising of the Colts cast or the podcast medium in general. So cool things are coming around the corner, so be excited about that. Other than that, make sure you guys get to Stampede Blue and check out all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. And we're going to throw the second half of the show to the guys and myself, Bengal Insider. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll end the show after that, and then we'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on the Colts cast.
Speaking of the first couple of weeks of the NFL preseason, it's actual football time, and it's week one. The Bengals are playing the Colts, and it's very odd because the Bengals are playing the Colts for the second time in as many weeks. I don't remember really the Bengals ever, or any team really, for that matter, kind of playing a team in the final week of the preseason and starting off their season with that, kind of a weird deal. But to help us preview the upcoming week one matchup with the Indianapolis Colts, we have Matt Dainley at Stampede Blue, who is not only a writer there, but he is a podcaster there. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing, man?
Good. Good. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for making the time. Man. Matt, what I like to do, I mean, aside from just diving into, you know, the nitty gritty, I always like to ask my guests, especially within the SBN network, how they got involved in writing, how they got involved in podcasting, their background, and be it as a fan of the team or what have you, just kind of your affiliation with the Indianapolis Colts and how you kind of came to work for SB Nation.
Well, I mean, make a long story short, just started out of the blue on my own to begin with. You know, had my own blog set up, started writing about the Colts, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then ended up that progressing into other opportunities. You know, and basically what it turned out to be, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this or not, but, you know, my wife's a sweet gal. But every time that she would, you know, her and I would get into conversations, I'd be talking about the game and I could just see the look in her eye like, I really don't care. You know what I'm saying? And so I felt like I had something to say, or at least, you know, that's kind of the way it was. So I started writing. Obviously, it was pretty terrible. That was about 6-7 years ago. And then, you know, it's just become a passion of mine, and, you know, throughout different websites and doing some other stuff there. I came over to Stampede Blue, I think about a year and a half ago or something, but I've been podcasting for, I came up with a site that basically did nothing but metrics for quarterbacks. It was QB Mecca. I did a podcast for that. I did Locked On Colts for a little bit over a year, the podcast for them. Came over to Stampede Blue, continued to write while Josh Wilson was still in charge, and then, you know, things have progressed quite a bit since Brett has been, you know, at the site and stuff like that. So it's been fun. It's a lot of new faces, a lot of new ideas. It's really good. We got a good team over there at Stampede Blue. So, I mean, it's fun to work with other guys that are, you know, pretty passionate about the team. But, I mean, at the same time, you guys know as well as I do, most of the time we're the most critical of our team, you know, just the same. But I feel like I honestly feel like if you've done it this long, unless you're just a complete blowhard, you've got at least some sense of objectivity in your brain, you know, and that's what's fun, because you can have real conversations with people and, you know, there's no BS in it. There's none of that. So, I mean, you feel like you're getting, you know, smarter by the day, the more people you're around in that regard. And just, you know, been doing the Colts cast for the better part of a year now for Stampede Blue as well, and it's doing well, and, you know, a lot of good things in the making, as you probably know, you know, for a lot of what we're doing right now. So
absolutely, yeah, we might be announcing some things on that same front in a little bit ourselves.
Yeah,
so
pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, our listeners should stay tuned potentially for that. Absolutely. So Matt, I guess You know, you mentioned the site and your work on quarterback data. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a pretty good segue to start with. And that's the whole Andrew Luck saga. And one of the last times Bengals fans unfortunately saw Andrew Luck was in the 2014 wildcard round. Mm-hmm. The Bengals were absolutely decimated by injury that game, but Andrew Luck absolutely tore apart, especially in since. Away from football, at least what, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. There's been some improvements, some talk of improvements. How has he looked? How is he feeling? I'm sure there's a lot of player speak, coach speak, saying, "Oh, everything's rosy." But mm-hmm. Are you seeing some issues, or what should we expect? Especially, you know, first regular season game in a number of years, or not a number of years, but you know, basically a year like plus. Yeah. What should we come to expect to see from Andrew Luck this Sunday?
Well, I think the good thing that you see that he's, I mean, before anything with him throwing, we obviously saw that he was physically, you know, in tip top, you know, that's the good thing. You see him, everything that he does, you can see that he's just more foundationally built muscle wise, you know, his core stronger, his extremity, his arms are obviously naturally bigger, but they're not, so bulky that things are out of whack. You know what I mean? So, he looks good. I'm not worried about him at all. I'm truly not. He's been able to continue to throw the ball. I mean, he threw the ball down. And we hear this all the time, whether it's, you know, one station or another. You know, he's only thrown the ball 18 yards in the preseason. What's going on? Calm down. He was throwing 45 and 50-yard bombs with ease in training camp practices. He was crisp. He's smart. He's focused. That's who he is to begin with. You know what I mean? So it's not that much of a stretch as far as mentally. But he's come back from a lot, too. So I think you guys saw the picture of him when he was really thin, right? What, a year ago? I mean, did you guys ever see that? I think he was holding up a book like or something of the sort.
Yeah,
He looked like he hadn't been lifting or doing too much.
He looked like a stumble bum, right? I mean, little skinny hobo walking around with sunk in cheeks. It was kind of scary looking, but he does talk about how that's become, you know, something that he's overcome mentally. He had to overcome all that stuff mentally. So I think you're getting not only a driven Andrew Luck who could physically and reasonably return to his 2016 form, but you're also getting a guy who's mentally just ready to tear this season apart. And I think that that's something that, you know, obviously, yeah, if there was any lingering effects to his shoulder, that would be a scary thought because, you know, he's not scared of contact. He's going to throw the ball as often as possible. And if anything, you know, his past several seasons are any indication, we're talking well over 500 attempts, you know, no matter what. That's blinking an eye. So I think that, I mean, just in general, he's looked good. I would have no reason to suspect he's not. He's never come out and said, you know, no, that sucked, or I'm hurting, or anything. Ever since he's been back, it's just been basically a person training a specific part of his body that has had to become, you know, has had to be rehabbed. That's all that I've ever gotten from him as far as his explanations on any soreness or anything like that. And he's pumped, man. He likes the contact. He feels like he's getting himself back into the 20s, you know, back into the season of football, and actually the being with the teammates and actually having a common goal. You know, I think that he's in great shape, both physically and mentally. I think that can do nothing but good for the Colts for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to see weekly mental updates from Luck at his Twitter handle at Captain Andrew Luck when he's on the battlefield every week. So that's always nice to see. It's always nice to get in the mind of an NFL quarterback. Bengals fans know about Luck. They know about T.Y. Hilton. They may even know about Quentin Nelson and the couple of other offensive linemen, Jack Doyle as well. I don't think a lot of people know, just in general, any names besides Marcus Hunt on the defense.
Sure.
This group is kind of, from the national perspective, scrutinized. And just in the Andrew Luck era, I guess the defense has never been the team's strong suit ever since Peyton Manning left. Who are some names that Bengals fans should keep an eye on as they go against the Bengals offense?
Sure. In the Pagano era, we'll just put it like that. At very least since 2012 and probably even to 2010, the Colts defense has been awful. And under Pagano, there was a couple seasons where it was really like some of the worst that the Colts have put on the field in 30 years. You know, so that's obviously you're moving from that, but you're also changing scheme. And I think that last year's draft with Ballard where he picked up Malik Hooker and he grabbed Quincy Wilson, we could see that there was a scheme change coming on defense. You know, you could see that they were drafting for that type of a squad, and you could see the makings of that, whether it was more of a cover three or a, you know, what's become of it now, a Tampa 2 style based defense. You've seen the parts, you've seen the moving parts being put into place before it was actually done. When you look at some of the guys on this team, I mean, and look, they are scrutinized, and there's a reason for it, but it's because people don't know them. There is talent on this team. If we're talking, are they a top, you know, top half of the league defense? I don't think you're going there. I think you're looking at a probably somewhere between 20 and 25th, and I think that's probably a high mark for them. I'll be honest with you. But they have the potential to be in between that 15 and 20 mark. So, I mean, just to kind of put benchmarks out there, they've got, you know, plenty of youth now because they've got four of their six linebackers are rookies this year. One of them's a second-year guy in Anthony Walker, and Najee Good's the only veteran guy there in that mix. He brings he brings what a guy who's going to be playing Sam, you know, brings. He's a physical dude. He's good. He's smart. He's going to be able to help with this. But they've got rookie play caller, undrafted free agent, Sky Moore, who's going to get a ton of snaps at Mike. You know, he was a guy who had, 14 interceptions in college. So he's a guy who definitely is able to patrol the field. He's fast. He's a hard hitter right now. He's not a controlled tackler, which he needs to become. But he's very good at getting to the spot. Darius Leonard's a guy. A lot of people were questioning that pick by Chris Ballard. And you know, I wasn't really on his train either until I watched post-draft a little bit more. And I thought, man, I can't believe that I came away with the notion of what I did previous to the draft. But I thought that he's shown that he can be into the passing lanes. He's a guy who is going to be able to hit. He's really good in pursuit, which is makes him obviously ideal for the wheel spot. And he's going to be able to get in mixed with the pass rush. And I think that's something that the Colts are really going to use this year and probably won't be expected all that much in the first half of the season because everything's new. Nobody really has any tendencies on this group yet. I think Leonard is probably, honestly, the playmaker of the team. Sky Moore, that, like I said, the Mike is doing pretty well. Denico Autry is a guy that we picked up in the offseason. And he has shown some explosion, some ability to track down the quarterback, even, you know, present some pressure from the interior. But he's also a guy who's really skilled as far as technician-wise. He's a technician with his hands. You can see it in practice. And then he gets that explosion in there, and that wreaks havoc. How that'll play out in the season is obviously a different story than what you see in training camp and preseason. But you just never know. But so far he looks the part, I think. And defensive end pass rush this year from the outside is going to be a real question mark for the Colts. Jabal Sheard is there, and you mentioned him, but you know, they picked up a pretty exciting rookie, Kamiko Touré. They got, you know, basically this experiment going on with Terrell Basham, and then Marcus Hunt right now, which is not scaring any opposing offenses. I mean, you guys know about Hunt. Last year he played his ass off. He played really well. And this year you get a guy who's back into a system that he didn't really succeed all that well in previous before coming to the 3-4 with the Colts last year. Now you're looking at Hassan Ridgeway, who he's going to be able to present some pressure. But right now the edge is not a scary bunch. I think that if you look at what Touré has athletically and skill-wise right now, and just his body build in general, his explosion is out of control. I think that you're going to see a guy who could really have some really nice ceiling in the NFL. And he's there, but he's a rookie. You just don't know what you're going to get. Obviously, you know, on the back end, you've got Malik Hooker. Clayton Gethers is a guy who's been pretty solid there. But, you know, the Colts, I think that we like what they've got on their base coverage group. Quincy Wilson and Pierre Desir, Kenny Moore and Nate Hairston, all those guys got a lot of snaps last year, not so much Nilsson. Or I'm sorry, Wilson, but Desir got a ton of snaps last year there. And this is a pretty good – it's a solid group. They're not going to scare anybody, but they've really got to get into this to where they're dropping in their zones. They've really got to be a break-on-the-ball type group, and that's something that they're really just kind of learning to do right now. But I think that you – I mean, look, if you didn't love Quincy Wilson coming out of college, I don't know what you were watching, right? he shows that in the games. He shows everything that people saw in him coming in the draft process. Deserves more of the veteran there. And then you've got the experience with Matthias Farley as a safety as well. But you've also got the big playability, Adam Malik Hooker. And I think Clayton Gethers adds a little bit of punch just behind that linebacker group as well to be a little more of a physical tool for the guys coming across the middle there.
Talking with Matt Dainley at SB Nation, Stampede Blue, and the Colts cast over at their website there. And Matt, if you get a chance, you should listen to the first part of our show when we interviewed former Bengals offensive tackle Willie Anderson, and he talked about going up against Freeney and Mathis and all those guys. It was kind of a fun conversation there. But
good old days.
But switching gears, since you talked a lot about the defense and the defensive line, there was a question in our live YouTube chat. I believe it was from Dean Burke, since he asked kind of about both. I'm going to switch it to O-line. There's some health questions there. Anthony Costanzo, which is eerily similar to my name, by the way. That's really weird.
It is.
There's his issue. Nelson is obviously probably poised to be a very dominant player in the league for a really long time. But it seems as if there's kind of a lot of question marks elsewhere, along with Costanzo's injury. The Bengals can get after the passer. They may still struggle a little bit against the run. Talk about the offensive line and maybe what you see ahead in week one.
It's really interesting because this is a group that we don't really know a lot about, to be quite honest. Costanzo was practicing today. He was limited. I don't think he took part in any of the team stuff, but he was back. That's big for Costanzo. Costanzo's been one of the most durable linemen the Colts have ever had. And he's a guy who's been in there, and he's it looks like he's coming back. So that's huge news. Even if he's not back this week, he's back for week two. That's either way, anyway, you slice it, that's great news for the Colts. But, you know, yes, he's an issue. I think that he's going to play, but we still don't know. We know what Matt Slauson brings, the physical nature of the game on the interior of the offensive line. You know, him and Kelly and Nelson there, that's a nice bully group. Now, can they form the chemistry to actually put that, you know, to actually execute this game plan? That's what we don't know yet. And that's the problem with this group. Kelly's been up and down. He's been injured, you know, and he's back. He's been completely injury free, as far as I can remember, throughout training camp and all that. So he's fine. Nelson is an absolute bully. And Slauson kind of sets the tone there for this group. Like I said, he's not exactly a top end guard in the league. So you hope that between those three guys that they can compensate for each other a little bit in order to be more physical than the group across from them. And that's kind of where the Colts, I think, their hopes are, because there's so much fundamentals and so much to learn with that group in general, I think, especially taking on a team like Cincinnati, who has a pretty decent front line there that's going to end up being trouble for a lot of NFL offenses, quite honestly. But behind him, you've got Braden Smith, the rookie, and I think that he is a guy who's definitely come a long ways through training camp. They've had him at guard. He's naturally a guard, but they moved him out to right tackle, some of the aforementioned issues with injuries throughout camp that you mentioned. He looked awful. I mean, god awful at first. It was just really bad. And then you get him outside, and he started to progress a little bit here and there. They kept playing him there. And I was surprised that they didn't end the experiment after the first couple days. They kept with it, though, and he's done pretty darn well. So I think Braden Smith's a guy there that's at maybe second or third, realistically, on the depth chart at right tackle as well. Right now they've got Joe Haig as the unofficial starter at right tackle, which I think is a pretty solid deal. Joe Haig's okay. He's not great. He's not going to dominate any elite pass rushers, even probably 80% of the time. He's going to probably hope that he can get guys away from Andrew Luck enough to where Andrew Luck can move a little bit in the pocket and still survive. That's not what you want to hear right now to your right tackle spot, but unfortunately that's kind of where we're at. There's a few weaknesses in this offensive line, but it's more of the fact that the chemistry's not formed yet, and there's still some inconsistencies with some guys, injuries in depth. Denzel Good has been out back and forth for the past few weeks. And outside of, I mean, Jamarcus Webb is the slowest human being on earth, but he did a pretty solid job in his pass sets, I thought, throughout the preseason. So I think that he can, I mean, he's decent depth. He's not great depth. but he's decent enough depth, and he's better than what the Colts actually signed to be there, which was Austin Howard this offseason. He's not even on the team. They released him. So that's not good. But you see a lot of the young guys in here, and they've got some depth, and that's the first time that they've had, I think, legitimate depth in quite a while. So I'm excited to see what these guys do, especially protection-wise, running game-wise. That's even a bigger question for me. They have the ability to be a really solid run offensive line. They've got some guys running behind them that are going to be able to pick up huge chunks of yardage in just a small amount of time. But all of that, obviously, like I said, has to be executed. You have to have Marlon Mack be able to run between the tackles and only bounce outside when it's necessary, and vice versa. A guy even smaller than him, Nyheim Hines, you've got to tell him to bust it out occasionally and quit running through up the back of your offensive lineman. You know, I mean, the vision there seems to be double vision. You throw them two together, and they're a pretty darn good back. I think what the Colts offer in the run game is still very unknown as well, because the backfield's so not inconsistent, but they don't have any experience back there, especially with Turbin being out the first 4 weeks. So a lot of this is going to be on the back of Andrew Luck. Unfortunately, it all comes back to Andrew. This is absolutely going to end up being where Luck has to be again. You know, he's got some pieces. There's a lot of fun thoughts with that, with between Frank Reich's ability to draw up a unique play for the offenses, or for Andrew Luck's ability to be able to execute it and kind of move through his progressions and make some big plays. But then you've got a lot of unknowns, is how these guys work together, how these groups grow, and then you've got the inexperience factor in the backfield as well as the wide receiver. So the offense is going to rely a ton on Andrew Luck. So we're still kind of waiting to see all this come together. But, you know, there was definitely some large spurts in camp where this offense looked pretty impressive. So a lot to do up front. And I think that offensive line really has to grow together. And I think that we'll see two or three different combinations of offensive linemen, to be quite honest with you, throughout the first several weeks of the season, just to kind of find out who fits where and how well they work together.
Yeah, well, as a Bengals fan, as a football fan in general, I think a matchup that's going to be so incredible to watch is Geno Atkins versus Quentin Nelson. You have one of the better three techniques in the game going up against maybe the best guard to come out in this decade. Mm-hmm. But a matchup that I think some Bengals fans may not be too happy about is Jack Doyle, the tight end, going up against the Bengals defense. Bengals defense typically in recent history is just god-awful against tight ends. Mm-hmm. And your new head coach, Frank Reich, an offensive mind, he helped Zach Ertz elevate his game in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's offense is one of the best for tight ends. Do you think that Doyle, in the Colts community, he's obviously a great player, and I think he's more of an unheralded name, maybe not in that national sense yet. Do you think Reich's history with involving tight ends in his scheme will elevate to Doyle into that national conversation?
I don't know, because you've got now he's got a legitimate number two, kind of lightning in a bottle type player with Eric Ebron to help him in that position. You know, last year it wasn't that way. They had to rely on Jack Doyle because there simply wasn't a tight end that was really going to be able to complement his skill set. And it was use Jack to be the H-back, use Jack in line, use Jack as a, you know, in the slot. They've even split him out. So it was, they know that they can do a lot with Jack. That's the beauty of Jack Doyle. Now, how much of a, like, if you want to say, get into the national conversation, I don't know that he'll always be on the cusp of that, I think, to be quiet, because he's not fast, you know, extremely fast. He is one of the most precise route runners on this team, though, at any position. And that's one thing that gets him open as well. So he's got the ability, he's definitely got the work ethic and the drive to do all these things. That it's hard to say that he would have to have a ton, you know. You almost think that for some reason Eric Ebron and Luck weren't on the same page or something like that, then you kind of almost think that maybe Doyle will start getting the lion's share of the receptions. But Eric Ebron brings a nice dynamic to this team, I think. I still think that Jack Doyle gets the more of the two as far as targets and such. I don't know that it'll be that much of a separation, though. And I think that'll actually benefit Jack Doyle. He'll actually be able to focus a little more on the things that he's actually best at, and that is some inline blocking, some solid chipping, you know, some of the short drag routes and stuff like that to get himself open, because people forget about him and he can pick up yardage. but he's not that lightning guy. You know, you can use him in the seam, but you know you're not, you know it's going to be a 50-50 ball because he's not beating anybody necessarily over the top on a straight seam route. So it's those kind of things. Ebron, on the other hand, you do have that, and I think that's what'll it'll allow Jack to roam a little bit more as well, but he'll have it free of having the burden completely placed on him.
Talking with Matt Dainley of ColtsCast and the Stampede Blue SB Nation Network. We're gonna close up here with you, Matt. I appreciate the time. A couple of just quick questions. I gave our previous guest Anderson a kind of a rapid fire question, if you will, and I guess I'll kind of do the same with you here on this one. What's the biggest difference between Chuck Pagano and Frank Reich with this team?
Accountability, like legitimate accountability. You know what I mean? These guys look at Frank Reich, I think, more as a – and I've used this comparison. It may be awful, but I think that at least when I say it, you guys will understand. When players looked at Chuck, they looked at him like Uncle Chuck. They look at Frank Reich, and it's their dad. And that's, I think, the difference, to be honest with you. It's something like that. You know, cool Uncle Chuck, you know, great guy, not great in the clutch. Frank Reich, you better be in there in the clutch being ready to play or you're not going to play. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. And I think that that's kind of embedded in his approach, more business-like, very down to it, but also very real, very real. You've gotten a lot of that with Chris Ballard, and now I think Frank Reich brings some of that, those same traits as well, and I think the players are really responding to it.
Okay, and prediction on how week one plays out.
Oh, man, I think we're like a 3-point dog at home right now. Is that right?
I actually, that's a good question. I'll have to look that up for you.
I think we are. I think at least the other day, I think we were, or the Colts were, 3-point underdogs, but you know, at home that kind of surprised me. But then at the same time, it doesn't so much. I think that the pass rush from Cincy is really strong and is going to be really hard for the Colts to deal with, because it's not a group, it's not a subset of that group that really puts it on. And this is what Frank Reich's always talked about. He wants waves of defensive linemen. And that's kind of what Cincinnati's got right now between them and their front seven in general. And I think that that's something that the Colts are going to struggle to deal with. Interior-wise, I think the Colts will be better at fending some of that off. But, you know, that pressure's still going to get there. The Colts have to be extremely dynamic in their route running. I think that they've got to learn, they've got to win at the line of scrimmage. That's huge for this wide receiver group, you know. It's hard to say, honestly, because we don't know anything about either one of these teams, honestly, right now, you know, and that's so hard. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, if I'm just looking at complete teams right now, I look at Andrew Luck that he's going to have a solid game. If we're guessing, go average, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns and maybe a interception, you know what I'm saying? A fairly one way or the other kind of game. How much of the defense makes a difference for Cincinnati, I think, is something that's, like I said, a real issue. And I think you can't – your guys' offense actually has an offensive line now. I think you guys boosted some of that, right, a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
At least from last year, though, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Moving in the right direction anyways, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And, I mean, and when you do that and you've got – you know, Dalton isn't a guy who's going to throw 50 touchdowns a game or a season, but I mean, he definitely is a guy that, you know, can have some big games. He's very kind of just low and level and does his job that day, or he gets something, you know what I mean? Or he explodes and then one way or the other down as well. I just think that he's even enough, especially in week one, when things are just being thrown out there defensively, offensively. I think he's good enough to keep them level enough to probably do about what they should expect to do, is win by 3, maybe, you know, 4. I think that that's reasonable, that the, you know, Bengals up. I would take the Bengals in 4, personally.
Well, okay, so yeah, you say the Colts are 3-point dogs at home, and I think the over-under, it looks like, is 47. Is the over-under point total on that one there. So
about makes sense.
Go figure there. And you make an excellent point, Matt, about these two teams. I mean, it's fun because they're close in terms of geography and proximity.
Right.
You know, they've got a bit of history together and all of that. These two teams are figuring themselves out, especially early in the season. And you know, I think the Colts – are trying to, they're hanging a lot of things on Andrew Luck in the hopes that he's going to be, you know, somewhere, if not very close to or at the level he was right before the injury. And I think the Bengals have a lot of fun, nice skill position weapons, some good pass rushers, but offensive line still is a little bit of a question, and they're coming off a 2 straight losing season. So these are, and both teams seem to be in a bit of transition. So a very interesting matchup going forward in week one. We thank you for helping us break it down, taking the time out quickly. Where can people find your stuff again?
At MDainleySB on Twitter. You can get my stuff on Stampede Blue and the Stampede Blue Colts cast if for some reason a Bengals fan wants to listen to a Colts podcast.
Well, I think we do have quite a few listeners that tune into opposition's shows and all that kind of stuff. So thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. I know John appreciates it. Try and have some fun this Sunday regardless of the result, huh?
Absolutely, fellas. Good luck. Thanks for having me on. I had a great time.
All right. Take it easy.